Great events going on in and around the region, and we've got another one coming up in just over a week's time, and I'm pleased to be joined hopefully on the line tonight by somebody who's involved in that. I should be talking to Don. Hello, Don.
Yeah, you are. I think good to hear from you.
It's and you.
Thank you.
Busy time for you at the moment, I'm sure, but thanks for taking the time out.
Busy time. It's always busy for you at Brass 2000, but just especially so at the moment. But anyway, there we go. It's good.
Great. So before we talk about the show you're about to do, tell us a little bit about the history of Youth Brass 2000.
Okay, well, the band was formed 27 years ago in 1989. I think my maths are correct, aren't they? 27 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was formed from a senior brass band, quite local. They were called the Rigid Containers Band, and they had a youth band. And it sort of ran out of money, and it sort of was about to fizzle out. And there was a little group of players, young players, I won't say children, but young players in the band, and a few sort of, you know, intrepid parents, and they decided they didn't want that to happen, so they decided to form a new band, and this they did. And about 2 weeks after the new band started, they employed the services of a young conductor called Chris Jeans, and he was a trombone player with the Rigid Containers Band, and he became the conductor of the band, and do you know what? He's still the conductor to this day, which is just amazing. But that was where the band started 27 years ago. Now, in the early years, they had about, I don't know, maybe a dozen players, should we say. Now, a minimum you need in a brass band is sort of 28. That's a traditional brass band. Now, youth bands tend to be a lot bigger than that these days, but in those days, 28 was considered to be the normal amount for a brass band. So it was tough times in the early days. They did a few concerts and a few little local contests and stuff like that. And I guess the big breakthrough came probably in 1991, they went to the European Championships up in Scotland, and I think they came last, but that really wasn't the point. It was the first sort of venture into the big time, if you like, and very shortly after that they entered the National Entertainment Championships of Great Britain in Blackpool, and that year they didn't do terribly well, but the following year they actually won that contest, and they became the National Entertainment Champions of Great Britain. Now, this was in the days when, you know, it was all very new and they had no money. Well, we still have no money, but, you know, we sort of had not much idea which way we were going to go and how it was all going to work. And we had no idea that it was going to be here 27 years later. And it was all done on a wing and a prayer. These days, it's much more professional. We've got a fabulous website, www.youthbrass2000.com. We've got really, really professional people on the committee. I'm the chairman of the band, by the way. I have been for the last 25 years. I've only been there 26 or 27 years, but I've only been the chairman for 25. And we've got some really, really good parents that have some wonderful skills. We've got great people doing the accounts for us. We've got people that do the uniforms. We've got people that do the props. We've got people that look after the music. And it's almost at a professional level these days. We're very proud of where we've come from, considering where we were. But it's through a lot of hard work, and we've got some great successes.
I'm not a brass band expert. You said it needs 28 members. How does that come together?
Well, I mean, what it means is that you're in a traditional brass band, you have sort of 10 cornet players. That's comprising of front row cornet players, so-called solo cornets. Then you've got a soprano cornet player, you have a ripiano cornet player, and then you have the back row cornet players. That comprises 10. Then you have the horns, which are 3 tenor horns and a flugelhorn. Then you have 2 euphoniums, 2 baritones. You then have 3 trombones, which is 2 tenors and a bass trombone. You have 4 tubas, or basses, whatever you want to call them, 2 E-flat basses, 2 B-flat basses, and then you normally have 3 percussionists. Now, my maths are correct again, that equals 28. So that's what a normal brass band would be, of a senior brass band. People like Black Dyke or Brighouse and Rastrick, or, you know, any of those famous bands, that's what they would have as their normal sort of setup, 28 players. And that was what you consider to be minimum. Well, these days, we run between, well, certainly mid-45s to our biggest we've ever been is 55. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're a pretty big band. Well, we're very different to just about any brass band in the country, I like to think. We're what we call fully inclusive. When I say fully inclusive, that means to say that if your little son Johnny is a grade 2 or grade 3 cornet player, or, you know, percussionist or whatever, and he would come and see our band, he would think, oh my goodness, they are amazing. How long do I have to wait to join that band? The answer is, you don't have to wait at all. If you want to come to the rehearsals every Sunday at Wilbarston Village Hall, then you are in the band. And that will apply to pretty well everything we do. fate, whether it's a concert at the Cube in Corby, or as in some occasions, as it was, let me think, five years ago, we did a concert, and for three players, it was the very first concert they ever did with Youth Brass 2000, and that was at the Royal Albert Hall, can you believe? But we didn't exclude them. They were in the band.
Wow.
And so, you know, so it's the sum of the parts, really. You know, it's not about, we've got some fantastic individual players, you can't deny that, but it's all about the team, and it works so well for us. It really brings the newer, sort of less established players, it brings them along, but it also keeps those superstars a little bit grounded as well. I mean, we don't do that on purpose, but that's just the way it works. You know, the behind-the-scenes team, and in front of the band, we've got, obviously, Chris Jeans, who is just phenomenal. He's been with the band, as I say, since day one. He is a world-renowned trombone player. He plays for another local band called the GUS Band. He is their trombone, their principal trombone, has been for many years, but he's played with the likes of Black Dyke, Grimesthorpe Collier, I think he played for. He's played Sun Life Band. Oh, there's so many. Wow. I mean, I can't remember the name of all these bands, but he's internationally renowned, wonderful trombone player, and we've been lucky enough to have him for 27 years, and he, I can tell you now, loves it as much to this day as he did when he first started. We're so lucky to have him, and he brings so much to the organisation. We also have another lady called Cathy Fountain. She's a local lass. She lives in Corby, born and bred, I think. I think she also conducts the Corby Silver Band, but she's our resident conductor. She does a lot of the spade work, if you like.
Yeah.
Perhaps a lot of the smaller concerts, a lot of the day-to-day rehearsals, if you like. She's equally just as important part of the team. And it's the team that it's all about, really. So there we are.
You talk about young Johnny coming to join the band. What is the age range of the current membership?
Well, we've had players as young as 8. That's a little bit unusual, but, you know, if you've got somebody that's... I mean, you know, this contradicts what I just said, but sometimes you get some players that are just so good that age is irrelevant. And we've had one or two of those come along and are sort of 8 years old. Mm. 9 is reasonably common. 10 is very common. But the point is that your lifespan is limited with a youth brass band. In general, not absolutely exclusively, because there are exceptions to this rule, but in general, once you've left, you know, what you would call normal school and gone to university, you tend not to be eligible to play for a lot of the contests that we do. And there are exceptions. The big exception would be the European Championships, which is a completely different age range. They're up to 22. But of course, when you're on a day-to-day basis dealing with children up to 18, it does present a bit of a problem for us when we enter the European Championships and are trying to acquit ourselves against bands that are playing 22-year-olds, which are, you know, they're not children anymore. They're fully grown up, aren't they? But having said that, the last 2 years we've represented England in the European Championships and come second on both occasions. So we've done very, very well. But that's because we're probably the best youth brass band in the country.
And that's what you like to be told,
to
of course.
To that, I certainly will. We've had many successes over the years. There have been many individual prizes. There have been many individual players that have gone on to reach great heights. We've got two players currently playing principal positions in the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, for instance. But on a brass banding scale, the young girl that's just left as our principal tenor horn, she is now the principal tenor horn at 18 years old with the most famous brass band in the world. That's the Black Dyke Band.
Of course, yes.
And so, you know, we've got individual successes, but as a band, we've had many successes over the years, but currently, we're just right on the crest of a wave. There are four major titles as a brass band. I know it sounds awful to talk about contests and winning prizes, but it's a very big part of brass banding. We love to do contests. We do a lot of great things. We tour every year, lots of stuff. But you know, playing in contests is a big part. Now, there are four major titles in brass banding in youth brass bands. The first one in the year is the Butlins Miners Welfare Championship. That's a very hotly contested contest with a huge prize fund. And if you win it as a youth band, you can win £1,000. Well, we've won that title 6 of the last 7 years and currently hold that title. The next contest is the British Open Championships. Now, they're held up in Preston and Lancashire. We've won that for the last 3 years, including this year, so we currently hold that title as well. The next title is the one that I mentioned earlier, which is the National Entertainment Championships of Great Britain. That's one that's very dear to our hearts. We've done it every year for the last 27 years. We've had mixed successes. Some years we've done great, some years we've done not so great. But that's in February every year, and that's in Blackpool, and we won that this year as well. So that leaves one championship, which is sort of the big one, really. It's the National Championships. It's the, you know, to become the national champion band of Great Britain is something we thought. thought we'd never do, but we've won it for the last 3 years, and we've won it this year as well. So we are the current holder of that title as well. So there are four titles, we've got them all. We shouldn't sound smug about that, but we do, because it will probably never happen again. It's never happened in any form of banding. It's just so unusual. We're very proud of that. It probably will never happen again, but we're just really, you know, excited and very proud of that fact. You know, so one of the prizes for winning these championships, the National Entertainment Championships, you get invited to play at the Sage in Gateshead. Uh-huh. And that's a huge international venue. We're going to play up there for a senior brass band contest. We're the entertainment for the senior brass bands, and all these bands I mentioned before: Black Dyke, Brighouse and Rustic. You know, the Corey band. They're the number one band in the world at the moment. They'll all be performing there, and we're doing the entertainment for them on the Saturday and the Sunday while they do the contest up there at the Sage. So that's one of the sort of spin-offs, if you like. The other one is, because we won the national championships, we get to end the European championships, and we'll be doing that again at the end of April, representing England. This will be in Belgium this year. Last year it was in Lille in France, so that's great. And then there's another one. This goes on, doesn't it? We entered, every year we enter a thing called Music for Youth, and that's a wonderful event, and it's actually nationwide, and it culminates in a week of music making by young people at the Symphony Hall in Birmingham. Again, yep, a very iconic venue. And we've been lucky to be invited to that probably 13 of the last 14 years. And it's not a competition, it's a festival. But the thing that you hope you get selected for is to appear in the school proms. Now, the school proms take place every year in November at the Royal Albert Hall. So our little band, totally unsponsored, registered charity, we're not connected to a senior band, we're not connected to a music centre, we're not connected to a school, absolutely, totally 100% independent, going to be playing at the Royal Albert Hall on the 16th of November. I mean, does it get any better than that?
You must be so proud of them all, I'm sure.
Well, proud is one of the words we use to describe it, but it's just phenomenal. You know, we can't believe what you can achieve through just hard work. You know, because I believe the impossible can happen. I've been a Leicester season ticket holder for more years than I can remember, and it happened for Leicester last year. And so I believe anything's possible.
Certainly.
What we do, this is all of us, you know, the band, the committee, the you know, the conducting team, we achieve almost the impossible. And it's so rewarding. It just makes you feel so excited and proud is the word you used, and it's just a great feeling to belong to this big family that we've sort of made up over the years. And you know, I always say to the kids who are in Youth Brass 2000, make the most of it, because when you're over 18, generally, apart from the Europeans, which we've already mentioned, you have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I also say that you're never forgotten. You're always welcome back at any time. And I use that line from Hotel California: you can check out, but you can never leave.
Never leave.
You know, if we get desperate for a player, you know, we're doing a concert and we need a B-flat tuba player or something, we'll ring the old tuba players,
mm-hmm,
and they're always happy to come back and play with us. And that applies to the ones that have gone on to world-famous sort of positions in brass bands or Royal, you know, the symphony orchestra or whatever. They're more than happy to come back and play with us. And that's just how the family, people feel about it. You know, it is a big family.
So your brass band family are going to be performing locally in just over a week's time at St Dionysius Church.
We have performed there before. We did it twice, in fact. Probably, I'm guessing, 25 years ago, and maybe 22 or 23 years ago. And the connection, if you like, there's a local chap that was the chairman, and he will be known to you, a chap called John Gilding.
Yes.
And Gilding Auctioneers are a pretty high-profile outfit within the local community of Market Harbour. But John was the chairman. He was a very proactive and very busy guy, and he obviously, you know, did things really, really well. But in those days, the chairman had 1 year. I'm afraid that once I got a hold of it, I wasn't about to let it go, and here we are 25 years later still doing it, but that's not the point. John Gilding is connected with St Dionysius Church, and he's put this concert together for the local community, for them to come and see our band.
So without giving too much away, people who come along and see the concert, what are they going to see? What's going to be forming the concert?
Well, it's interesting, really, because brass bands, you tend to think of a bit staid and a bit set in stone, you know, not very exciting and not very interesting, and you think it's going to be a march and a hymn tune. Well, you're going to get a march and a hymn tune, because I think they're very important for brass bands, and I think when you hear a good brass band play a march and a hymn tune, there's not much like it. But you will find there'll be a right mix of sort of jazz stuff, up-tempo, pop music. You know, you'll get Happy from Pharrell Williams, you'll get, well, all manner of things. And a lot of the music is uplifting, a lot of it is foot-tapping, and you know, I can more or less guarantee you're going to have a good night if you go along to that concert, because, you know, we are very good, we know that, but it's pointless if you've got nobody in the audience. And, you know, when you see these kids performing, if you close your eyes, you tend to forget that the kids, and I really, you know, I call them kids, and it sounds a bit sort of, a bit patronising, really, doesn't it? But some of them are really very young. 9 and 10, as we said, some are 18, so they're clearly not kids, but you know, they are very young to be performing at the level that they do perform. And it's not unusual, as I said, about people joining the band. You know, we've had concerts and you know, young people have come up and said, that is awesome, we'd love to join that band. You know, I'm a grade 8, you know, trombonist, how far do I have to go before I can join? And we sort of laugh, you know. Well, that little boy there, he's 11 and he's grade 3. So how do you feel about it now? And they're like, that's not possible, they sound so good. But it is just the sum of the parts, isn't it? And, you know, we've always been such a believer in that, and it obviously does work.
You've kind of preempted my next question. If people do want to find out more about the band, they perhaps do want to join, yeah, what can they do? Is there a phone number? Is there the website?
Any of the committee. I mean, I'm going to be there. You know, I'm obviously, you know, very keen to speak to anybody that wants to join, and they generally get pointed in my direction eventually. But, you know, anybody that's connected with the band, just ask them, just ask the question. We've got the great website, which I've already mentioned, and there is a contact page on there. I've not got it in front of me, so I can't just tell you exactly where to go on the website, but it's www.youthbrass2000.com. It is a very good, a very proactive, interactive website, and there is a link on there saying contact us. There's my phone number on there, you can ring me, absolutely not a problem. Or you can email us, and you know, it'll all get filtered through on the night. If you want to speak to anybody, that's obviously very easy to do. And really, don't be afraid to come and ask questions, is what I would say. You know, hopefully you'll come and enjoy the concert. It won't be absolutely for everybody. You know, you can never please everybody all the time. But we like to think what we do is of the highest standard, in a sort of semi-professional, bearing in mind they're young people, manner. And you know, behind the scenes, we work very hard to make sure they're turned out really sparkling. You know, their shoes are shiny and their hair's nice and their waistcoats are all very, you know, all in line and everything. You know, we work very hard at presenting the program well, and we sometimes have a compere. We won't have for the Diocese Church, because Kathy, who's the Kathy Fountain, is the conductor on that night. She likes to talk to the audience. She's great. You know, she just makes everybody at ease, has a laugh and a joke, and she'll tell you a little bit more about the band, bit about the players, you know, how old they are, when and how long they've been in the band, all that sort of stuff. And it's just a lovely, pleasant way to spend an evening, and in a very nice environment, it has to be said. The Diocese Church is just wonderful, isn't it?
It certainly is. And if you want to get tickets for that evening,
I know you can get them from the church. There will have a not the rector, but the pastor or whoever it is that deals with their stuff. But John Gilding, his auctioneer, somebody that works there, if you ring Gilding's auctioneers, I know there's somebody there that's dealing with the tickets. And they're not ridiculously priced. I know they're not. I mean, some of the gigs we do, you know, they're £20 and £30, but these are, I think, the £10 and £8. There may even be concessions, I don't even know, but it's absolutely well worth it. And as I pointed out, you know, we're not the beneficiary of the concert, although we do benefit because we get paid a fee, which is great. But we're, you know, a registered charity ourselves, so, you know, we get people buying CDs from us, and that all goes towards the sort of funds, if you like. And obviously the money we get paid on the night, that goes towards the funds. So it's really important that we get a good support, because we don't want the organisers to lose money. But more importantly, that we want to get a full house, so the atmosphere is great and people have a good night, which I'm certain they will.
Well, a big thank you, Don, for taking the time to have a chat to me. What I'll do is I'll put your website address on the Harbour FM homepage so that people can get in touch if they would like. And hopefully they'll come along to St Dionysius Church on Saturday the 22nd of October to watch you.
Indeed. I hope they're going to come along in their droves, and I'm certain they're going to have a good night, and I'd love to meet you all. So, you know, that's another one, is it? So we can talk and chat, and if you've got you know, grandchildren or children that you want to bring along to the band, it's very informal, very easy, and, you know, we'd love to see you all there.
My big thanks to Donald, the chairman of Youth Brass 2000, for joining me on the show this evening.
Thank you very much, Owen. Appreciate it. Bye-bye now.